Chapter 17. The Pipes and the Pendulum. Freddy jutted her jaw, but it was so delicate that she looked more like a little girl pouting than an angry woman.
"What an impertinence!"
Sidney Grice intertwined his fingers.
"Let us begin, Miss Wilde, with Miss Bocking's possibly slanderous assertion that it was you who suggested visiting an opium den."
"I suppose I did."
He inverted his hands to create a bowl.
"Why?"
"I had taken opium before," Freddy admitted. "It helps me forget."
"Forget what?"
my guardian asked. And she chewed her lips and burst out, "How much of my life do you imagine I wish to remember?"
"Had you used the Golden Dragon Opium House before, Freddy?" I asked hurriedly.
"Never."
Mr. G. peered, mystified, into the bowl.
"Why did you not use a previous haunt?"
I asked, and Freddy touched her amulet.
"Two of them had tried to fob me off by mixing talcum powder into the resin."
She looked abashed.
"The third had evicted me after I misbehaved."
"With a gentleman?" I asked, as tactfully as I could, and before my guardian could be more direct, but he was occupied in pulling his bowl apart. Freddy blushed.
"I thought he would be as affected as I was, and so—"
She swallowed.
"I tried to kiss him. He opened his eyes."
She bowed her head at the memory.
"And he screamed."
She exhaled.
"There, now you have it. I am humiliated, and how does it help your inquiry?"
I did not have an answer for that, but Sidney Grice patted his left knee twice to comfort himself and said,
"All truth is important, and Miss Middleton has accessed information of which I was previously and dismayingly in ignorance."
"How many pipes did you smoke, Freddy?" I took hold of my saucer.
"Three."
She gingerly touched her inflamed left eyelid.
"And then I fell asleep."
"You saw nothing suspicious before that?" I tried my tea, but it was too cold to drink with any pleasure.
"Nothing."
"When did you wake up?"
"When somebody put a bag over my head, and I heard him saying, 'That's an improvement,' though it was more like 'Zats' or 'Dats.' And I felt a drawstring being pulled round my neck so tight I thought I was being strangled."
Freddy put a hand to her throat.
"Then I was pulled to my feet."
"How?"
Mr. G. took hold of his elbows.
"By the cord."
Freddy massaged her neck.
"I was dragged backwards and hauled up so that I had to stand on tiptoes."
She pulled at the front of her collar.
"I found out later that the drawstring had been looped over a hook, and I was turned to face the wall, and my hands were tied behind me. I could not see anything. I could hardly breathe."
Panic darted around her eyes.
"It was so hot. I thought—"
"I am not interested in what you thought."
My guardian hugged himself.
"Could you hear anything?"
Freddy worked her fingers under her collar.
"Everything was muffled. I heard bumps and crashes and Lucy screaming."
"Does Miss Bocking have a unique scream?"
Mr. G's arms flew apart, and the notebook disappeared into one of his numerous inner coat pockets. Freddy scrunched her brow.
"I do not think so."
"Then am I to take it that you assumed that the screams which you claim to have heard came from her?"
"Of course."
"Of course."
He savoured the sound of the words before adding,
"Most people would agree that it was a reasonable assumption to make."
He puffed out his cheeks.
"However, I have yet to formulate the desire to enter into concord with you about anything. Proceed."
"I could not struggle for fear of choking. I tried to call out."
"What?"
Sidney Grice dangled his watch on its chain.
"And why?"
Freddy flushed. "Just Lucy's name. I do not know exactly why."
"People do call out to each other in crises," I interpolated. My guardian greeted that statement quizzically.
"Do you have personal experience of such a situation?"
"Edward!"
I heard it as clearly as the day I cradled his bloodied face. Yes. The watch swung like a pendulum.
Then you may expand upon that remark, when you are solitary, for nobody else is interested.
Sidney Grice pointed at Freddy Wilde.
Resume your unusual account.
I do not know how long I was hanging there.
Then do not devastate my time with conjecture.
My guardian slipped his hunter back into his waistcoat pocket.
I can calculate for my own secret purposes that it was more than a second and less than a decade.
Freddy clearly struggled to suppress a retort. Eventually, I was aware of somebody untying my wrists, she said as evenly as she could.
The wrists?
Sidney Grice pounced on the word like a snake on a rabbit, chewing it over in his mind before digesting it.
You told me your hands were tied, and I transcribed your statement. Am I to believe?
He produced his notebook and rustled through the pages, jabbing a sloping line of squirrels with an accusatory knuckle.
That I have sullied my black, cloth-bound, 384-ounce quality paper notebook with...
His voice took on a tone of moral outrage.
A falsehood?
Freddy slipped her right fingers under her left cuff, as if to check the truth of her own statement. I meant my wrists. Sidney Grice closed his notebook reverently and clutched it to his heart.
I once met a woman who was capable of saying what she meant.
His expression became dreamy.
Though, of course, she never did.
He stroked the smooth spine.
Discontinue your discontinuance. You were rudely interrupted after voicing the definite article.
My godfather reminded her gently. The... Freddy recommenced uncertainly.
Well done,
he encouraged her. The blood rushed back into my hands. Freddy eyed him uneasily. They were burning. My guardian balanced his notebook on the tip of his left thumb. It was me, Lucy said.
You were burning her hands?
Mr. G. gaped in astonishment. No, I mean I untied Freddy.
Her hands or her wrists?
He leafed through his notes until he came upon an elongated ampersand taking up an otherwise blank sheet of paper.
Miss Wilde has given scant evidence of being capable of distinguishing between them.
Of course she can, I snapped, tired of whatever game he was playing now.
For her sake, I hope, though not with any great solicitude, that you are correct in that assertion, Miss Middleton.
Sidney Grice drew a second ampersand inside the first.
For, if she cannot, she must suffer many varieties of inconvenience. How?
He tipped his modern mechanical pencil towards our hostess.
How did you travel to Miss Wilde?
I managed to crawl over.
On your knees, or your hands and knees, or forearms and knees, or elbows and knees.
Mr. G. wagged his pencil, almost in time with his words.
And do not distress me by asking why that matters.
Hands and knees, Lucy replied crisply, and I wish you showed the same concern about distressing us.
I rarely feel, let alone exhibit empathy, and you have taken center stage for long enough.
Mr. G. rubbed his hands together vigorously.
Kindly be quiet and let your strange housemate hold our attention a while longer.
I shall not be silenced in my own house,
Lucy protested angrily.
But, dear, nice Miss Bocking, do you not comprehend that that is exactly what is happening?
He explained nicely.
Pray recommence your narration, Miss Wilde.
Freddy looked uncertainly at her companion, who threw up her hands in surrender. Lucy put a footstool by my feet, and I managed to get one foot and then the
other.
Mr. G. covered his mouth in an ostentatious yawn.
And now, pleasant Miss Bocking, since you are so keen to dominate the proceedings, perhaps you would explain why you have lied to me since the marvellous moment that we met.